blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sharanam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Sharanam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sangaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who have followed and practiced this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what should we look at today? Renee?
Well, I want to keep the conversation going about dropping the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And how the behavior reinforces the conversation, because it was really, I don't know, it was almost cleansing for me. Like, I just, like I went on a retreat.
A feeling of, like a key, you know?
Yeah, piece of the puzzle.
Yes, so that it's not personal, because the conversation keeps keeps the behavior going, and therefore the karma plays out.
Yeah, yeah. So it just kind of is a circle.
Mm-hmm.
That you have the conversation, you do the behavior keep, or don't do the behavior, whatever. To keep that conversation going.
Yeah, it's sort of a relief that the karma seeks the circumstances that will reinforce it, so what's the point of feeling bad?
Yes. Yeah, that's another good piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the feeling bad is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can drop it and not feel bad.
Yes.
And just keep dropping it.
Yes. Well, and the awareness that once we know that that's the case, then it's very clear what our responsibility is.
Mm-hmm.
We stop colluding with it.
Mm-hmm.
And once we see it, then the practice becomes dropping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just, when it first was shared the other night, and then all the conversations that came after that were very helpful too. I saw, it was like I was going through this kind of thorny bushes cutting through it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like I kept seeing a conversation and another one, and then another one, and that's another one, that's another one. And it was sort of like getting to center, you know, going through all that to get back to center.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so since then, it's just been easier to recognize a conversation that is with ego.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if this is what you're looking at, right, Renee, that once we have an insight, there's a meta process by which we get, the insight becomes real, so we realize that insight, and so we start to see all of the ways in which the it's keeping the identity or the conversation in place, and we keep dropping it till we get to a place of total clarity, which feels, in my experience, like the insight being realized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so there's a sense of all of the stuff that was there before goes away because we've dropped it all and centered to this place.
Yeah.
With the awareness that it's going to start building up again.
Yeah.
And so the insight really is that we have, that there's a process of clarity and a process of the garbage building up on the clarity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to sweep,
right?
To clear it out.
Uh-huh.
Because the and what gets cleared out changes, so the transformation is a continuous process.
Yeah.
Because a new insight leads to new things that we see, And where we tend to stop is we feel that the insight is enough. It should have cleared it out, and clarity is permanent. Mm-hmm. Without acknowledging that it's the process of sweeping that allows us to have mm-hmm. a clean porch, because mm-hmm. the leaves will blow over it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said all that, because that's what's been going on. I'm seeing it start to try to build back up. Mm-hmm. So even during meditation this morning, during interactions, just seeing it start to have a conversation again. Mm-hmm. About whatever, mm-hmm. and I can see the conditioning and identity in it, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, in this place I can see it,
uh-huh.
and from when I was identified the other night and then got disidentified,
uh-huh. yes,
I thought I was disidentified,
uh-huh.
and when I was identified,
uh-huh.
you know, or
just you're aware of the process yeah. of the conversation mm-hmm. in awareness mm-hmm. as opposed to being in it, which mm-hmm. is also an experience we need to accept. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the spectrum of awareness is no awareness, because we're 100% identified, to complete attention on awareness that's bliss and everything in between. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And we feel it.
Yeah.
And so what I think we're getting to is all of it's a process. There's mm-hmm. there's nothing in life that's a period at the end of the sentence, mm-hmm. right? Because if it is, then we're completely encrusted in the karmic process. Mm-hmm. And so we're born of karma, we're heir to karma, we abide in karma, we are supported by karma. And so it's a continuous process of sweeping mm-hmm. the karma away. Mm-hmm. We don't ever rest, right? Sort of leads to the other line, which is if I'm choosing something over ending suffering. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just this morning, even yesterday I was thinking about coming to group this morning, and there was this huge enthusiasm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then this morning it was just like, no, I'm going, like that, like a really
uh-huh.
excited person.
Uh-huh.
And I think that staying in that inspirational place, and then what we did the other day was just like amazing.
Uh-huh.
And so you just stay in this inspirational place or finding that and, you know, being
yes.
with people
uh-huh.
who are doing that and
yes.
and sort of helps you sweep it. Maybe.
Yes, well, it's what we, why recording and listening is so mm-hmm. powerful, right? Because we create the conversations, mm-hmm. within quotes, that we'd rather be listening to instead of the conversation that we'd rather not be listening mm-hmm. to. And so, but in underlying it, if we look at it from the content perspective, it's the rather listening to one conversation or the other. But what we're training the attention to is, what process am I attending to? Mm-hmm. Am I attending to the process of karma, or am I attending to the process of life?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's the empirical evidence or the experience of it is, sometimes it's easier to do one over the other. Mm-hmm. But we train to be with whatever it is, and the training is all about redirecting the attention, which is also a process. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I get to that inspiring place and stay in that inspiring place for a large period of time, within quotes. Sometimes it's like this, you know, identification, disidentification, identification, disidentification, mm-hmm. and you have that experience also. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just so clear when you're at center about, you know, what it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
And then when you're identified, you're just like, not so clear.
Yes. Degrees of clarity.
Degrees of clarity.
But, and the practice teaches us when we need to get the broom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? Because we get clear about when we're not clear, mm-hmm. and then we train ourselves to reach for that which will allow us to get to clarity. Mm-hmm. Not because a lack of clarity is wrong, but that's not what we prefer or choose to be or attempt to.
Yeah, and what I see going on right now as you're sharing, saying that, is ego wants there to be an outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, a place where you can just be centered
and ever
always happy and always delighted and you know, and that's not what it is.
No, it's not what it is. It's not static. It wants it, and so, you know, to me, that is the definition of why ego is defined as not life in some senses, because it has to be outside of life to believe that that permanence is real. Because it's not. There's nothing in life that seems to be that.
Yet there is something at center that is not suffering. So even though it may not be constant delight or constant happiness, at center there's not suffering. So, you, like yesterday, so I went to another event that was a public event, and I had several encounters with other human beings who weren't practicing. As far as I know, they weren't practicing. And so there was this one lady who was really disabled, and she was trying to get to the bathroom, which I was waiting to go. And she was deaf, and so she was trying to communicate, and so I just dropped everything and went and helped her, and I think if I had been identified, I would have been just like, oh, what a whiner, or something, you know, or I would have been like, oh, I'm afraid to get involved, or, and so there was a place of center where you just do it, like, you know, you're just at center, and you just...
There's no story.
There's nothing going on about it, you know. And then, and I had no idea if what she was doing was dramatic or if she really needed help. Because it was a little like an actor-looking sort of way. But that's my projection.
But what it comes down to, I think, what you're saying is it's where you are. It actually doesn't matter where anyone else is.
Right. And so there was no suffering around it. It wasn't delightful. And then she says, if I fall in here, will you come get me? I'm thinking... Whoa, you know, go in the bathroom and pick up a stranger. You know, just for me, that would be way out of my comfort zone.
Well, or you'd be in the story about it. Because if it really happened, then you had to be present.
Yeah,
you actually have no idea what
you're
going
to do. And I was okay with it. Like, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, I'll help you. I'll be here, knock on the door, whatever.
Or helpful, I don't know.
But if I had been identified, it would have been just like, I probably would have ran out of the restaurant or something. And then I had another encounter with someone who was super delightful, and so it was just like being at center. It didn't all have to be good, you know. It didn't all have to be happy. So there is something there about that isn't related to being permanent joy.
We're just with what is, whatever that is.
With what is.
Thank you. Lakota.
I love that conversation about it never being over. It's kind of like that, like what we heard on the Good News Update a while ago about the work is never done. And
yes.
And how that's actually can be a real relief. I mean, ego hears the work is never done, and it's like, like I'll never get there. But it can be such a relief because it's like, well, there's if it can never get done, then there's no urgency.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no rush to get through
it. What am I efforting for?
Yeah. It's like, well, I just do the next thing and the next thing. And I love the image of the porch and the leaves. Like, if I have a belief that my porch should never, ever have leaves on it, then I'm going to be in a constant struggle because, of course, the wind, you know, I sweep it and 5 minutes later, like, just porch care here. It's like, I sweep it and then, like,
porch is very present, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's like almost the moment that I'm done sweeping it, like, you know, it's like, I got to sweep it again.
And you can just imagine if you're so, I mean, the image of a little gnome running around trying to pick up every, like the rabbit that's late, right? Always, it's like, I'm going after this leaf, and oh my God, I'm going after this leaf, and the just the image of that is such an anxiety-producing place, right?
And
also obsessive.
Yeah, and so letting go of that belief, like, you know, it's about the process of tending to and taking care, and that process itself is joyful, and and I'll never be done, and then the beauty of the support of the schedule, like, so I'm going to spend this hour sweeping the porch, And then I'm not going to sweep the porch for the rest of the day.
Yes.
And then I'm going to probably do it again tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And just like relax, like, okay. You know, and then the next layer and the next layer and the next layer of the karma or whatever kind of arises.
Uh-huh.
And we work with that. And Sherry was talking about what she had seen in our group on Thursday and about the behaviors reinforcing the
conversation.
And it just kind of appeared all of a sudden in my mind as kind of a kind of like a diagram. But I saw this kind of like airtight box,
mm-hmm.
with four sides, and one side is the identity or the belief. I'm a person who, mm-hmm. whatever. And then on the other side, there's the constant conversation that's reinforcing that, mm-hmm. belief. And then kind of creating the motivation,
mm-hmm.
for the behavior,
mm-hmm.
that then kind of goes to the fourth side of the box, which is the proof.
Yes.
And it's that, you know, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. So now that I've done the behavior, and now there's some kind of outcome in my life,
uh-huh.
and it's like, see, and then there's a constant conversation, uh-huh. about the proof. See,
yes.
this
yes.
proves.
Uh-huh.
And it was just such a relief seeing that as like this completely impersonal process,
mm-hmm.
program that happens. I mean, I know this is what we talk about all the time, but that is completely universal.
Yes.
Like every, uh-huh. human being that has ever lived has that program, mm-hmm. running with different content. And it's just not a single bit of it is personal. The belief, the conversation, the behaviors, the outcomes, none of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, you know, it's just leaves on the porch.
It's just leaves on the porch. Yeah. And once we see that so clearly and have that insight, then we are with it in a different way, which seems to be the point,
mm-hmm.
right? So I enjoy the leaves on the porch when the leaves are on the porch, because there isn't an idea that the porch has to be clean. And when I'm ready to clean the leaves off the porch, I go do that.
Yeah.
And I don't go, oh my God, I've got to go clean the leaves on the porch. I do this every day, and what's the point of it? Because it keeps coming back.
Right. Yeah. It's just the play.
It's just the play.
It's the play. Yeah. And then just the day before yesterday, out of the blue, I was sitting in meditation, and life just kind of dropped in. This insight about death.
About death?
Yeah. Mm. And it was really kind of surprising, shocking, and lovely. And it was just kind of this awareness that, like, being aware that I'm going to die, and that we're all going to die, and that this is we're just kind of passing through this, is kind of your best friend, that awareness.
Mm.
It was just like, I just kind of, it's weird to say, but I just got it on this really deep level. It was kind of, I had this image of like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, create all these different wiggles and lines and designs, and you know, a voice might say it's beautiful, or another voice might say it's horrible or it's ugly, but the fact is, it doesn't matter. Because at some point, it's all going to vanish.
Yes.
It's just going to be gone.
Uh-huh.
And so it's that kind of like, there was this huge, profound relief,
mm-hmm.
that followed this flood of this relief and this flood of ecstatic feelings,
mm-hmm.
and it was just this like, it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. the wiggles,
mm-hmm.
you know, the lines and the wiggles that happen, the karma, the leaves on the porch that I'm sweeping, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it really doesn't. It's totally irrelevant. It's like it can just be an enjoyment of all of that.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, and in that process, I would project the relief comes from partly the absence of that which has held that belief so strongly that it controls the way we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right. That there's a way that
should
be. Should
be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that letting go of the system or the story or the program that is so bothered about the outcome,
mm-hmm.
and the effort,
mm-hmm.
and the cleanliness of the porch.
Mm-hmm.
as the ideal to achieve.
Right.
And just to have that large awareness of nothing really matters, and therefore we have the freedom for everything to matter.
Right. Yeah, and of course, like from that nothing really matters place, you know, some voices say like, well, I'm, you know, that's not okay, because then that means that you could just do whatever
and you'd be lazy,
behave in some horrible way. Yeah. But it's not true. I mean, when we're here, we don't behave in those ways.
That's right.
We behave in ways that are in alignment with life and that are loving
and sort of rising in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, in other words, there's a way we can be trustworthy with life because we are life that ego can't even wrap its head around, no pun intended, because it's not that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very, very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. And exciting.
And exciting. Yeah. So you can be the wriggle if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the edge of sketch.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. Jen, then we'll come back.
I love that image of the broom. And as you guys were talking about it, and then in that last conversation too, I just had this thing drop in of what it feels like is, what we get to is the delight of sweeping.
Yes.
And like life is a dance with the broom.
Yes.
And that the thing that's so, it's like conditioning's ultimate trick is that it's constantly getting us in a conversation of what we were talking about. Like, oh, I don't like sweeping, I have to sweep again. And that the trick is, that's where the delight is.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
That I saw, Thursday night was huge for me as well. And what dropped in after it, and I don't even know if I can really put words to it, that seeing, it's nothing new, but that ego doesn't actually want what it says it wants.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that,
I'm going to reflect. Ego doesn't want what it says it wants.
And that what it promises can never happen, doesn't exist, it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm. What it promises can never exist, it's an illusion. So the version of I doesn't ever get what it wants.
Exactly, uh-huh. Which has been my mantra for some time now. Uh-huh. And it was so funny how I was recording about it, and it just dropped in like all these like projections. It was basically a projection exercise and looking at, you know, so-and-so. And it went all the way from the president of the United States to this famous person who has so much money, to the person in my life who I project has everything they, you know, to the person that, to the person that. And it was amazing to see how getting it, that what ego is projecting onto that is an illusion. In the sense of, oh, it's so hard to articulate, but in the sense of the authentic projection, like the process of what I'm projecting that person has, is a life process that stems from here.
Yes.
And that then what ego does with that is it then turns it into either content or essentially, if that person were doing what ego says they're doing in order to get what it projects they're getting, they wouldn't have what it projects they have.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if we can untangle that, but
I think so. But let me see if I think what you're pointing at is, A, the experience that it's projecting we want but don't have is the experience we're having.
Yes.
Right? That's the authentic sense of love or joy or happiness that is the source from which that is projected on someone else. So that's why we say go back to your projection or own the projection, because the subjective experience of that is what it is, where the projection stems from.
The subjective experience. That's
right.
The only way.